Hello, folks. Another segment of Let's Talk Ed. Chris and I this week are talking about the welcoming college from start to finish. First two segments, we talked about the attractiveness of a college, buildings, facilities, what have you. And the second one, we talked about a schedule that works for students, especially the growing population of part-time students. In this third segment, we want to talk about how to get the student to that finish line. Right. It's one thing to attract them. It's a even equally hard, if not harder, task to finish them. So, Chris, what does getting the student to the finish line mean from your perspective? I want to hear your thoughts.
So to me, I think it means a little bit more than seeing them cross the stage and get that diploma and have that graduation moment. I think getting them to the finish line really means getting them launched in their next step, whether that's a career. If you're a two-year community college, that might mean transferring to another university afterwards to work toward that bachelor's degree. So that when I think about getting them to the finish line, I'm thinking about, you know, our service doesn't end with that diploma. And I think that's why it's really important to make sure that we have really good services as far as career counseling, as far as, you know, transfer advising and helping out in that process. And those are two, I think, real key components to making sure that students feel like they are getting a good return on their investment. Because even though, you know, you and I know the community college space pretty well, and that's where we've lived. It's still a major investment for students, even though community colleges tend to be much more affordable than a four-year university or private college. Still, it's a major investment, and students want to feel like they got something for their time and money, and it goes beyond being able to wave a diploma in the air.
Right, or throw a cap, or, yeah, I hear you. Yes, I agree with what you said wholeheartedly. Getting a student to the finish line can take a variety of different tasks, the format of a variety of different tasks. It's interesting that we do a great job recruiting in many places, right? Many of us have recruiters. Many of us have activities to try to recruit individuals. And then we leak like a sieve from semester to semester, or, you know, in terms of persistence from fall to fall. And those are problematic situations. And few of us have really mastered how to reduce those numbers. Now, there are places where we had initiatives of getting people, you know, 15 credits, because a two-year college is a 60-credit, roughly, college, and a four-year college is a roughly 120-credit college. So if you take two-year college, four semesters, that is 15 credits. So getting more students to the 15 or getting them to 18 speeds things up and potentially allows them to finish sooner, which can impact retention. That's all great. But when a student is overwhelmed, a student is overwhelmed. You sold them more credit. You kept them until census day. Therefore, you got your money's worth from state and federal. That's fantastic. But what are you doing to keep them longer? And then we have this point of pride. Oh, yeah, we're very rigorous. That's why students fail. Well, most often it's not our rigor. Most often it's the topic we talked about earlier, which is, you know, the schedule and life and work. So I see why you brought out career counseling and transfer advising, because it's setting that path for those individuals. And if we couple it with a solid humanistic and, well, like, I'm going to be a little political here and talk equity-minded approach to retention, we might be, and support, of course, we might be able to change the status quo of higher ed. When I say that, what do you think? Do you bristle? Do you agree? What are your thoughts?
No, I agree, because that retention system needs to be, you know, really robust. And if we want to talk about the dollars and cents of it, your best customer is the one that you already have. And we really should, once we get somebody in the door, do everything within our power to make sure that we have laid out everything in order for them to succeed. So that also means, you know, instructors, when they see students starting to struggle, that they don't just let them dangle out in the wind, that they are talking to the right people so that, you know, we can get students tutoring or other intervention type services. You know, if we do have a student that is struggling with life for whatever reason, you know, that we have these services available to help them how we can. And the reality, and it's a hard reality, we can't save everybody. It's just not possible. But again, let's do everything we can to make sure that we are doing our due diligence to make sure that students see that there is a path to success for them.
I agree with you. I'm going to go a little step further and say it's not about spreading the wealth equally. Sometimes it's about taking a student in his circumstance and giving them that stepping stone that they need that others may not need. You know, I've seen in colleges, including one you and I worked at together, where a student was thrown to the street by the partner, and now with the kids, what does that student do? And the foundation steps in based on a request from the college and provides a week's worth of hotel and support for them to find a place to live on a more steady basis. So those are things that make a college welcoming, right? The food pantry is not a question of our generosity. It's a question of responding to the real need of students in two-year colleges. And those help individuals to continue on. What are your thoughts when I say those things, Chris?
Yeah, no, it's incredibly important. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about a little bit before we started recording is some of the things that you're also taking for that next step too is, you know, you have people that are going out and looking for jobs and they're doing interviews and they may not have the appropriate attire for an interview because, you know, they may come from economic circumstances where that's a real stress to go out and have, you know, nice clothes for an interview. So you see a lot of colleges that are starting to implement, you know, a clothing closet sort of thing, similar to a food pantry where you can go in and, you know, get clothes for an interview or something like that. Because let's face it, professional clothing is very expensive. And, you know, I know we've heard it from some of our advisory councils where students have shown up not dressed appropriately for the interview. And they want us to know those things. But then, you know, it's up to us to maybe take that next step to offer them, you know, an opportunity to get the right clothing. Career counseling, I think, is not just you go see, you know, so-and-so in the corner of the library and talk about careers, but we're going to put on some workshops where we're going to go over resumes or workshops where we're going to talk about interviewing or things like that and building those into your campus culture. So again, you can go in and be prepared for that next step. And, you know, I think that is, again, we are doing everything we can to set you up for success. It's still up to you to succeed. But we're at least trying to give you all of the tools that you would need for that.
Right. And as we're winding down here, I want to remind people that April is Autism Awareness Day. And as a person who is autistic and a father of a child with autism, I wanted to remind folks that that is part of a welcoming college, thinking about those individuals who've got those, you know, those are crosses that many bear that are not physically viewable by others. So part of a welcoming college is to think about how we can support our students, all of our students. And it's not a question of allowing people to fail because they have the right to fail. It's also how many bridges are we putting in front of them so they can cross that chasm that separates them from the everyday student. And we're not talking about the people who are struggling with mental health issues or with physical disability or with children or elderly family members that they're taken of, or goodness forbid that they have a job to be able to put food on the table. So this is a shout out to everyone to think about welcoming college from start to finish, not as piecemealing it. With that said, Chris, that's another week under the belt. This time we talked about the welcoming college from start to finish. Like you always say, they need to write. They need to keep it going. Share and like because – what do you say share and like? Because it does what to the algorithm?
It helps the algorithm, and this will help get into the feeds of other like-minded individuals.
Wow, leave it for a broadcaster. That's excellent one, Chris. thank you, folks, for joining us. Chris Ford and I always look forward to hearing from you. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. This is Let's Talk Ed. Thank you all, and see you during the month of April, Autism Awareness Month.